Hey, lovers and friends, I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out. All right, so I'm here with Steve and Emily. We are enjoying Bloody Marys in Talkeetna, Alaska at the, what brewing company is this?
Denali Brewing.
Denali Brewing. It's raining a little bit this morning, but I'm on vacation with these beautiful people and we're in Alaska. We went to, let's see, where did we go first? We were in
Lake Louise.
Lake Louise. Oh, Steve has an amazing place in Lake Louise. We just spent three glorious days there on the lake. And thank you, Steve. It was so amazing.
My pleasure.
So this is My Perfect Romance. And this is my very first interview.
I thought I was in a deposition.
This is my very first interview. And I'll tell you, I thought these are the most perfect people to interview because you two are just so amazing together.
She's cute.
I just love it.
Well, you're both cute. Okay, so I'm just going to start and just ask you how long you've known each other.
Almost 4 years.
In August.
So, yeah.
4 years. And how long have you... So you've known each other 4 years, and how long have you? You've known each other 4 years. How long have you kind of actually been together? About 4 years.
Yeah. Right?
4 years. Instantly.
It was instantly at a picnic table.
Just stay. Well, I'm just going to kind of get a background of both of you. Steve, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Wisconsin and came to Alaska in 1979, and I've been here ever since.
Oh, great. And then what
I
about you, Emily?
Originally from Omaha and came up here in 83. I was 10.
So well, I've been up here for 40 Steve, years. What brought you here from Wisconsin?
I had a job working for a fishing lodge in remote Alaska, and that's all it took, that phone call, and I was bags packed and on a flight.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. I'm just checking to see if we're recording. Yes, we are.
Okay.
No, I've done this before where we've recorded half a podcast and we're like, oh no, we haven't even recorded it.
We don't have a backup recorder.
Well, where was your first tour?
It was a fishing lodge. It was in remote Alaska. It was out in the Iliamna Port Ellsworth area. And it had two airplanes involved in it. Fishermen flew out every day, went fishing all day, came back. Really good meals and nice accommodations, and everybody was there just a week. And so that was the first 3 years I spent out
there. You just fell in love with the area.
Yeah.
Did you have to go back to Wisconsin? You were here, you were just here?
No, I went back. It didn't take long to figure out that one needed to learn how to fly to really enjoy all the things that Alaska has to offer. So I went back and got my pilot's license in the winter months and then returned. And then in 81, I stayed nonstop. But that lodge kept me employed for 3 years.
For 3 years. And then did you kind of just go out on your own after that?
I did. I ended up moving into Anchorage, which is the big city, and it's where a person needed to go to find some real employment. And I actually fell into what I wanted to. I ended up working in the communication industry for the oil companies. And I did that up until last month.
Oh, now you're retired.
Along with that, I did do guiding on my own. I kind of had a side business through that whole career too. So that worked out.
So you just had a lovely life doing things that you really like to do.
A lot of time at different cabins I own. Guiding on when I was on vacation from the the real job. I was guiding a lot of the time and just trying to spend as much time in Alaska, not Anchorage, but in Alaska. Towards the end of my work career, the cabin that you were at, I've had for 21 years, people used to say, oh, Steve, where do you live? And I would say, I live at Lake Louise. I go to Anchorage to go to work.
Yeah. That's where the living is.
That's where your heart is.
Yes, correct.
Well, now you get to spend your time with Emily.
Well, she's been spending a lot of time there, too. With no,
yeah. That's your special place. I can see why. It's just so amazing.
That's the one cabin that I own that I can more or less drive to. The other ones I own, I have to fly to. So it's just, it's an easier access. And it's the weekend. It was the weekend recreation location that we spent a lot of summer weekends and a lot of winter weekends. There's a shoulder season where we can't get to it when the ice isn't good on both ends.
Yeah.
And that's typically the month of May and the month of October, November. And, you know, then the lake freezes solid because we have to go across. As you saw, we went across on the boat. In the winter, you go across on the snow machine.
I thought that was fascinating that, you know, I didn't think about the lake completely freezing and then people still using their cabins, but just getting to them in a different way. So to get to this cabin, you park your car at a lodge and then boat to the cabin. And most of the people who have cabins around you do the same thing.
Correct.
And then in the winter time, it freezes over and you snowmobile to your places.
That's correct.
That's so fun.
But there's a transition period where the ice isn't good to do either in the spring and the fall. So there's some of those cabins that you saw that you can walk to and there's some that you can get folders into, and there's only a handful that you can drive straight to. You saw that the very limited road access, but the one that I have is not accessible unless you're boating or snow machining or flying into it. So that's the way it is.
It makes those it makes them even more beautiful and quiet and
rustic.
Yeah. So, Emily, how did your parents came to Alaska? Is that?
Yes, that's right? How I ended up here.
You come up with both your sisters?
Yep. Molly and Amy, both, yep.
And then you kind of just went through elementary school and middle school.
And then high school.
And you just had, I kind of forgot that you weren't in Sandpoint, that you had your high school years in Anchorage.
Yes. So I started going down to Sandpoint when I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of reconnected with my mom at that point, and then every summer after that I went. So for the last 32 years.
And you graduated from a high school in Anchorage?
In Anchorage, yep.
When you said you went to your high school reunion, here I was like, wait, didn't you go to, oh, that's right, you didn't go to Sandpoint High School.
I graduated in Anchorage, yep.
And then you've been married. You have four children who are adults now.
Yes.
And divorced. And then this is the best story. No. Where did you guys tell me about how you met that special day?
You're the better storyteller than I am.
Oh, no.
Oh,
yes, you are. It was the best day.
Steve is a good storyteller, but I've heard it from you, and it was
completely unexpected.
During COVID,
it was such a perfect day. So I used to go to the lake with my friends, the Bunkers. So we would go up.
What? That's cool. Yeah.
Go up there with them. So probably 4 years prior to meeting Steve, I'm going to have to say we would go up there. And it just happened one day. It was sunny. And we usually do not go to the lodge. We would go to the point because that's where they unload their boat. So we go to the point and then head back to Anchorage. So we kind of just decided it's a nice day. Let's go have a beer. Sitting down at a picnic table. Minding my own business.
And the view from this lodge, the picnic tables, the lake is stunning.
It's beautiful.
It's a perfect romantic backdrop to the meeting of these amazing people.
I thought it was a perfect fishing backdrop.
You see fish, you see sunrises and sunsets.
It has those.
It is beautiful.
And then you were sitting at the table talking to some friends. Yeah. And then...
And one of the younger gals that we were with, Steve, I remember you parked right there. Were you down at the boat walking up?
I pulled up in the boat. Yeah.
Okay. And then Denali. Denali's like, Steve! Steve! And he comes over, and then I think I got up to go to the bathroom. Right? We'll go into the restroom, whatever I was going to do. I might have been going to go get a beer.
Yeah.
And then you can finish, because I wasn't there at that point.
I know, and I heard something that you went to the bar, and somebody said...
Dead. Denali's mom and dad, who are were friends with both of us, mm-hmm. but we didn't know each other.
Mm-hmm.
They came walking out, and they're like, oh, yay, Steve's here. You know, sat down, and I was on one end of the picnic table, and she was on the other, and she got up to go in to get a beer, is what she did, and Susan looks at me and says, hey, that's our friend Emily, and she's single. And I go, okay, I got it from her.
You're amazing. I think this is so perfect because you then when chatted with Emily had a great conversation.
Yeah, we did.
Connected. Like, you know, I want to say is like, what was the first thing you noticed about Emily? What did you notice about Steve that was that?
I think just listening to you talk. I mean, it's like...
Apparently, I do too much of that.
No, it's not even
that. Well, I was like, talking with Denali. Denali was
he's
such
just
a...
interesting. That's what I'm going with.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we just listened to how you came up to Alaska. I mean, that's fascinating in of itself, but you have thousands of other amazing stories about...
One or two.
...your adventures.
Yeah.
And you kind of were drawn to that.
Yeah, so I would say... personality.
I remember her saying, I really don't want to go back to town. I thought, that's a good quality right there.
She likes it enough here to stay here. That's how you felt too.
Yep.
So that you were kind of attracted to that she was attracted to your favorite place.
It is the best.
Well, and I love it that when you guys, you know, left for the day, Steve gave you his phone number, right?
And he would not take mine.
Which I just love that. I mean, I think that is, and we kind of talked about that idea of not pushing a woman too much, letting her kind of decide whether she was interested or not, and then going from there. I think that's such a great idea.
That's been kind of my theory my entire life.
Yep. Well, I think I was going to say that to my boys, too. You know, it's a good idea if you're interested in somebody. And I don't know how it works now. I mean, you know,
they get a name, they go look them up on Facebook, and then they learn everything. I don't do Facebook.
Yeah.
I don't do the guy who knows social media.
That is one thing. I did try to look him up. That is the first thing I did.
Oh,
I was just stalking. Like, you know, you don't know.
Yeah.
There's nowhere.
No.
He's nowhere.
My husband has none of that either.
A lot of people love it. I just don't think I need it. So.
Nope. Oh, my. I just ate a peppercini. Woo. Okay. And let's see. Well, did you sense there was something special in the other person?
Oh yeah, the more we talked, it snowballed really.
Uh-huh.
And what our friends came to have one turned into three, and then we went back to where their boat was, and that turned into another.
Another one at the bar,
and it's extended, and then off they went.
And I really did not want to go. I'm like, I might really like this guy. But I am not going to go to his cabin.
You kept holding up your finger. Another minute. Just give me another minute.
That I needed. I needed more time.
So you went home.
Yep, back to
your respective houses.
He was there. He stayed at the lake.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to? Oh, I love that story too. When you went home and your son was like,
him and I were just sitting on the couch, and I said to him, I go, I just met somebody. You know, I'm really kind of like him. And Dylan goes, Mom, he just basically said, yeah, text him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you need to be happy. And then I did. And then I'm sitting on the couch. I said, Dylan, look, he texts back.
What did you text?
you know?
I just...
Probably nice to meet you and... Yeah,
blah, blah, blah. I said, ever since you left, I've been hauling gravel. No joy after you guys left.
And then
back to work.
And then if I remember right, you came back into town a couple days later.
Yeah.
And then we went... Aaron's like, and I, because I was talking to Susan and Aaron about it, and Aaron's like, I'm going to invite him to have drinks at Fire Tap. So you just meet us over there. And then it kind of just went from there.
And once again, you were just kind of drawn into each other's orbits, and the conversation and the attraction was just there.
Yeah, and then the amount of mutual friends became apparent that we knew, and then just snowballed from there. So. In August, it will be
snowball.
4 years.
Snowball.
And here you are, a big old snowman. So what was your first date? Did you guys kind of pick a time at that, like, when you were texting?
I think our first date was we went to King Street. If I remember right, I met you over after work, and then...
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple nights out in Anchorage, and then she came up to the
I
lake.
I did go to...
I know, I remember that story, too. I love it.
If you want to see me on the weekend, you're going to have to go to Lake Louise either with or without me, and we'll meet there.
And I did.
And you went. So did you guys, what time of year was it?
August, so into summer. Uh-huh. And we went out there every weekend until we couldn't go. I went with you every weekend after that.
Yeah, and it was the first weekend in August, I can remember now, and it was gorgeous weather, but we just... I like to go up there as much as possible, and we went every weekend until the end of September when I lock it up until winter. So, yeah, she learned how to help.
Yeah.
Chores.
She wasn't good at the shower.
I got that figured out.
You need to have like a little...
Ask her what her favorite thing to do at the beach is for helping me.
Oh, yes. Oh, what is your favorite?
I love to rake the beach. It's very aesthetically pleasing.
So Steve has this amazing property, like we said, and it is one of the only properties on this lake that has just this gorgeous beach. And the sand is like a dark,
dark sand.
It's so pretty.
It's not tan. It's
so
gray.
Emily goes out naked and...
No.
Rake, rakes, does her our little feng shui, raking it into...
Keeping it clean.
Keeping it clean. It was clean.
For the bonfires we have at night.
Mm-hmm.
That make it messy again.
But I miss.
Well, you know,
we get a lot when we have the big storms. It washes up weeds and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll come back sometime. I'll just be a line of seaweed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look good.
And so we rake it and we keep it clean. And we relocate that to some other part of the property that needs a little fill. And it's
actually a good organic fill.
Yeah, that's good.
A really good idea.
So we just keep that stretch, like you saw, as clean as possible.
It's so pretty.
Yeah.
I mean, the other great thing about having like a dark sand is when we went swimming. Now, we went swimming. I can't even say swimming. It was a cold plunge because the ice, there was ice on that lake just a week before,
Days before.
Just days before we went in.
There was still ice on the lake on the other side.
So, needless to say, it was
38 degrees.
Very cold, but very exhilarating as well.
It did feel good.
And then Steve has this amazing fire. It's like a metal fire pit. With this huge raging fire in it. And we could like walk up onto the beach. There's this big, nice fire. And the sand, because of the sun hitting it and it being dark, it was warm. It felt so good. It didn't even matter that we were in freezing water 5 seconds before.
I just like to throw out my disclaimer. I did not go into that cold water. I knew better. Somebody has to be on shore. The shell-shocked individual.
As soon as Steve was gone and there was no one in sight, the girls and I, Emily and I, and our friends that we're on vacation with now, we all took our clothes off and ran in. really just dunked ourselves. That's why being remote is amazing. You could do that if you want. She can rake the beach naked if she wants, or
except for Roger, our friends might pull up. So,
oh yeah, Roger, that was so funny. We were talking about Roger, and
showed up.
He shows up. Should we talk about?
comes in stealth, whether it's in boat or snow.
He's got those, like, you know, little. He's got radar. It's like, somebody's talking about me. I need to go over there. So you guys just barely moved in with each other, right? Or you've kind of been living together, but just really
we're talking about made it. The other day. It seems like I think in the last 3 years, how many times have you stayed at your place? Haven't.
The D-mark is, uh-huh. She got rid of her condo last week. So
now it's official.
There's no other location.
She can't back out now.
Well, she could if she wanted, but.
No. I think I'm good.
I don't see that happening.
I think I'm good.
And so you've kind of been slowly moving in this direction. I shouldn't even say slowly. You were there, but then you had this other house.
Well, yeah, because I still had Dylan. Mm-hmm. When Steve and I first met, Dylan was still, 11th grade.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is, it was kind of good timing with him because he was living out of state.
Okay.
So it kind of made it easier but
he always wanted to have a home for him to come back to.
He
played competitive hockey and was housed in the different locations that the teams were.
Yeah. This is also an interesting thing. Maybe our listeners don't know, but in Alaska, I wonder if that's them. No. In Alaska, you know, hockey mm-hmm. is huge up here.
Yes.
And then if you really want to be competitive, how does that go? You
have to go out of state.
You have to go out of state. So your son Dylan played hockey, but right. He had to go live with a family.
Billet family.
What do they call it?
Billeting.
Billeting family.
Yeah.
So how does that, how does that work?
So appearance on hockey teams, all over the lower 48, it's huge. I mean, even international. So mm-hmm. if these kids get on these higher teams, so a AAA team as to where up here, you have AAA up in Anchorage, mm-hmm. but there's not teams to play.
Okay.
So what you do is you go down to the lower 48 and then you're playing teams all over.
Okay.
So these billet families and or parents of players on the team and possibly not even parents of players, they will house these kids. And then you give them a monthly stipend is what you do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And they make sure they get fed and a place to sleep and mm-hmm. get them to and from the hockey rinks for practice. They're high competitive teams. That's it. Yeah. It's called comp.
Okay.
And other names. Mm-hmm. There's other names for it. But and it exposes them to better competition. Mm-hmm.
And, sure. That's great, because I think it probably is fairly...
You might emphasize how many different locations you lived in as a high school.
I think out of state for high school is more Michigan. Two times in Michigan.
Oh, it was just in Michigan. And then he played sometimes in Minnesota.
Then he went to Minnesota where he would try out. So we also have something that's called juniors. Mm-hmm. So high school age, you get billeted out and you're paying for your hockey, so to speak. So you pay monthly. Mm-hmm. Once you get on with juniors at the age of 18, so Dylan did get on a junior team. All your hockey's paid for. Hmm. You still live with billet families, but it's like a small amount that those families are paid. It's mm-hmm. not like you're living there because you're not really there.
Yeah.
You're kind of housed there, and then you're traveling. So.
Yeah. How did you feel like losing him every season?
Oh, my gosh. If that kid didn't have hockey, it would have been miserable.
It's more, well, yes.
And I traveled with Dylan. Mm-hmm. I mean, I went to Michigan. In the 3 months that he was there, that was probably the longest time that he was gone. I probably went down there 4 times.
Yeah. Well, I think you do these things for your children because they love it.
And then COVID happened. Mm-hmm. So then there was nothing from January 20, or March 2020 until August 2020.
Oh, okay.
So then everybody kind of regrouped and then, yeah. So
yeah, I think that's how else does, you know, young people play sports? I mean, like hockey when you live, even in places where you have to fly into here, right? That's kind of how that works.
Yeah. And even with competitive soccer, we were traveling probably for the girls. Mm-hmm. I was going to Minnesota. We were going to Arizona, going to Seattle. I mean, it was all over. It was constant.
Yeah.
Just sports up in Anchorage, you just don't have the competitive teams for the advancement.
Yeah.
But we have juniors now, so, but you still have to be older to get into juniors.
Yeah.
So,
post high school.
Post high school.
So, Emily has four children, three girls, and a son. And they're 20s.
All of them. 27, 25, 24, and 20.
Yeah. And then, Steve, what about your?
I have one son, and he's 27 as well.
Yeah. How is this all meshing with your relationship and families? And
mine's a non-factor. He's lived down in Bellingham, Washington since we met. Mm-hmm. He's met Emily a couple times. We went to a professional football game with him and whatnot. And then one of Emily's really good friends moved to Bellingham since we met. So. Since we met. And we've gone down, stayed, and visited with them while they were there, or they're still there, and seen him while they're there. So, yeah, she's got way more children requirements.
But there's a good balance. I mean, I see my kids all the time.
All the time.
And I mean, it was a perfect timing to meet somebody because the kids were at the stage where they're doing their own thing.
Much more independent.
Dylan was a little bit, but he was not. He's not needy.
He's very independent, even when he was with you. I mean, when he was a minor with you.
Yeah. And do you think that's that independence is having moving with hockey for periods of time?
Yeah.
Such a polite young man, so nice, and I can imagine you just kind of when you are living with different family host families, you kind of learn how to. Work with other people and how to behave and how to be polite. And
the coaches do not put up with.
Yeah.
Young men are taught to, as a coach, you shake hands, you have teach eye contact. Like, because these coaches will put you in touch with other coaches.
Yeah.
So you have to have that professional, stance.
Yeah.
And Dylan, I think he's got it down. I think he's intelligent. He needs to pushed a little bit more out.
That'll happen. He's just at that age. It's a transitional age, and they're just trying to figure out their next step. But which is great because it allows you now and Steve to kind of like move in another direction. Like you just moved in with Steve, and you can now move in a direction together. Not that you haven't been already kind of doing that, but
different stages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, let's see. I'm going to kind of go into your favorite things. What is your favorite thing about Steve? And Steve, what is your favorite thing about Emily? I know there's many things, but what stands out?
My favorite thing is I can just listen to him all day.
I guess I need to be a little more quiet so you get some peace.
But it is my and the reason I say that. I'm going to have to say I'm an introvert, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't talk a whole lot. I'm not one to get out there and put myself out.
Just at Coors Light, and then she is not an introvert
anymore. and people will tell me that I am outgoing, but I'm not. So him and I have such a great balance in that, so I'm going to have to say that's my favorite, because you're just... I love listening to you and the way that you talk with people and you go up to anybody. It means you're just a good person.
Yeah, you said this, but I believe it now after being here. Steve knows everyone in Alaska.
And if you don't, you should. Go introduce yourself.
We walked into the bar down there. That was hilarious.
I know.
Oh, did they get out? We're live. I'm like, I didn't even know you talked to this lady at the bar. See, you're just that is probably my favorite. I mean, there's a lot of favorite things about him.
That is just stands out.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that attracts me to you. for sure.
I can see that. What about you?
She is always willing to go do whatever adventure on the schedule.
Yeah.
She has been 100%. Let's go do that. If that's what I'm going with, you know. And the other thing, she has gelled and mixed and blended with all my network of friends so well. They all love her. Mm-hmm. They all like her a lot.
Well, who wouldn't? Emily is...
likeable.
Is likeable.
Except for one friend, Jillson.
Barely. Listening, you know who we're talking about.
Yes. That one friend.
We had the listeners that she did something one night. It wasn't bad and by any means, but she said to this one friend of ours, she said, "Am I still your friend?" And the friend looked at her and held her finger and her thumb close together, said, "Barely." And that's been a joke ever since. Just barely.
She's one of my favorite people.
So. Well, Emily is, I mean, it's funny when you say you're. Not that you don't like talking to people, you're just an introvert, but people are drawn to both Emily and you for different reasons. I think people are drawn to you, Emily. I don't know. You just are a calm person who listens. And Steve, you're an outgoing person. You listen, but you're also full of life and have lots of stories. So people are drawn to both of you, I think.
I'd like to think I give some good advice once in a while, but maybe not.
Yeah.
That's what I'm telling. Yes. No, you do. I will have to say I have learned patience.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. I have learned patience.
Well, yes. But I used to be where if something is not right, it's like I have to fix it right then. With now, I'm kind of learning just to back off a moment. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And before, yeah. I mean, you've done just the way that you guide me. Yes, you do give good advice.
Mm-hmm.
We have never had a fight. Would you agree?
I would say no.
No, we have never.
Mm-hmm.
Never had an argument of any nature. I mean,
well, I think that says a lot about both of you because, you know, Steve, I feel like you're somebody who just... it's not worth it. Like arguing, you just like stand back, not go. Yeah,
because
yeah.
I used to push that envelope. Steve's like, no. And it wasn't even that we were arguing mm-hmm. to each other. It was just like, wow, mm-hmm. this is so easy. But then I get.
Well, and Emily, I think it says something about you too that you're. You see that. You're like, oh, okay, that's not how this relationship works. Like, you know, if I want to discuss some, or if I'm having an issue or something, I really need to sit down and discuss it with Steve rather mm-hmm. than argue or like, you know, not that you are trying to argue with him, but Ben and I have this relationship too, where he just will not get into it with me. Like, I'll sometimes get frustrated. I'm like, why is this happening? Ah! And he's like, I'm walking outside. But you can talk to me later.
Steve goes, when I get to that point, he's like, girl, just breathe.
Take a deep breath.
Just breathe.
But then, you know, it
but
allowed.
But I'm learning to not have those emotions anymore. But yeah. I was going through a lot.
A lot of previous relationship holdover.
Yep.
Take some time to mm-hmm. readjust that. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be that same. One of my friends once said, don't hold the next one responsible for the problems the last one created. Yeah.
Yes. And that is hard. It is hard to adjust your brain to how a relationship works with another human, you know, because you're used to like acting and reacting a certain way to one human. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of go into another relationship sort of with that. Is that kind of how you felt?
Well, my frustration wasn't even necessarily that. It was just I couldn't get rid of the other one. It's like, that's how I felt because it's like I'm going through this divorce that should have happened years ago. But unfortunately, he had to see it because it just wouldn't end.
Yeah, so I think you were on the tail end of it.
It was the divorce I kept on giving.
Yeah. That was the frustrating. And trying to explain to him.
She was very frustrated.
Yeah.
You're were trying
as you should be.
Yeah, and it wasn't fair to him, so to speak.
Let me back up.
It was frustrating.
When we first met, she says, "Well, I'm married, but I'll be divorced by the 22nd of this month." Uh-huh. And that didn't happen.
Oh, God. That's a long process, Emily.
But you know what I did?
The frustrations.
Yeah.
And I still haven't done it. I said, as soon as I get that certificate, it's going to get framed and go right up there with those heads. I did it.
It's a symbol.
But it's the best thing. Yes.
So I'll just tell the viewers that Steve is an amazing hunter and has the most beautiful collection of, what do you call them?
Wildlife.
Wildlife. I don't want to say heads.
You're butchering it. Trophy mounts.
You know, trophy mounts.
It's artwork.
Yeah.
I consider it art.
It is. They are beautiful.
Very beautiful.
Mounts. Good job. Yeah, I would see why you wouldn't want
to. I don't know that a plaque needs to be hung on right next in between a couple.
But I was just saying that.
It's not how Steve looks at his bodices.
But if you want to do it, we'll do that.
Not how you see his plaques either, but no. It was a goal attained. You attained it. It's done.
My best trophy. Yes.
True.
It's allow you the freedom to move on.
Well,
no, just kidding.
You are. But I had to get rid of that one.
No, there is.
All of that go.
I mean, I would think there is an art, it seems, to what you do because of the
absolutely.
You know, what I see on your wall is like, wow. Well,
others do that. Yeah.
And I will say this too, that this human, Steve, is the sweetest, gentlest, kindest man ever. And I don't know, but I suspect that with any hunting you do, it is all purely humane. Mm-hmm. And you do it the right way ethically, because certainly there are people who don't do it that way. Yeah. So when I'm talking about Steve and his plaques, Steve is the most ethical human and hunts ethically. And I don't know what else. I don't know the right words, but I see that in you. And I want people to understand that as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Steve is also, like, I can tell you have been a guide because he's been our guide in our little vacation this week.
The girls' vacation.
And he wrangles us.
The butterflies.
He tells us what he calls us his butterflies. He's wrangling us, moving us in directions, tells us how the day is going to go. And thank goodness, because where would we be without you?
Still stuck in Anchorage.
He's sharpening our baggages back and forth and
in and out of boats, yes, four wheelers,
yes,
trucks,
yes,
mini SUVs, coolers.
I know, I was just saying that this morning. It's like we haven't stayed in one place for too long. We have packed up, unpacked,
yes,
packed, unpacked,
which is hard for a few of our accomplices because they have packed so much stuff.
Actually, you girls did good. I would say that you're not.
Okay.
You're not. Neither of you four have overpacked, in my opinion.
Okay,
and I've seen it all, so.
Okay.
Take my judgment on this
okay.
one.
We just
pat yourself on the back.
We just like to give Molly and Lisa a hard time.
Everybody gives everybody a hard time at some point.
But thank you. You've done an amazing job just managing us.
It's been a pleasure having the four of you. We're having a great
so
time.
Much fun. Oh,
and we're not halfway done.
Numerous times.
We're not even half done yet.
We still have a whole week left. I'm so excited.
So excited. Been excited for this for months.
She has been really looking forward to it.
Not wait.
Her sister and her sister's friends, which are her friends, we just think the world of all of Molly and Dylan's friends I've met when I was down in San Juan. Everybody's great. I mean, we're just having fun.
Yeah,
good people.
So, and you're getting to see some good Alaska. And, today's our first rainy day out of five.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it has been so beautiful.
Yeah.
Sunny.
And I think as soon as we start heading south, it looks like it's supposed to be sunny and nice and Homer and Seward.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place to leave. Mm-hmm. I don't want to leave it. Yeah. I want to live it.
You live in a beautiful place, too.
Yes.
Sandpoint's nice.
Rather, yeah, Anchorage.
Just a big city. Okay.
Well, so let's just, as we close up our little conversation, I just want to ask you, since, I mean, you guys really do have such a great relationship. It's only been 4 years, but I say only. You feel like you've been together forever. You know, what have you learned most in, I mean, through your relationship with each other that you would give advice on other people, you know, just in your coming together, making it work, you know, what kind of advice would you give other couples? I think one good one we've already discussed, which was, you know, listening and not arguing, which is a good one.
There's no doubt that communication is key, but you know that sometimes, in my opinion, you're meant to be, and because you're meant to be, it just kind of gels, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have friends that you think, why are they in this relationship? It's toxic. They fight, they scream, they yell, they kick, da da da. But yet they don't separate and go find something that's more pleasing.
Yeah.
We only get one shot in life. There's no do-overs.
Yeah.
There's no second chances. Make it the best.
Oh. Okay.
Now, that wasn't what did I learn from her, but that's my theory about relationships and, mm-hmm. you know, being friends and, you know, you can pick your friends, you can't pick your family, but in relationships, you know, if they're not, it's not right. You only get one chance.
Yeah. I think that's wonderful. That's really beautiful advice, and I think it's good. I think everyone should take it.
No, I don't mean run out on the first chance you get.
Yeah, but,
you know, sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
So. Then you also learn. I mean, we both have had relationships where you're stuck in something where you don't want to be.
Right.
And I think...
it's bad.
It's bad, but it also... you learn from those mistakes, I think. So having a relationship later on and... my life has been better because learning from the negative in the back.
Previous.
Yeah.
Previous negative.
All negative.
I think that's solid advice.
Forward positive.
Yes. Well, it looks like we're kind of getting busy up here, so we'll close it up.
Sure.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I have loved talking to you a little more about your relationship and getting to know you, Steve, a little bit
you're
more.
You're getting to live it with us.
I do. Which has been amazing. So thanks. And for your listeners, thank you both. I love talking to you. And thank you for being my first interview. You guys are the best people to
deal
with.
You're number one.
We'll see about that. So if you, this is my Perfect Romance, signing off. If you like us, please rate, review, and subscribe. You can send us your personal love letters, and we would love to read them. And thanks. Goodbye.